Forward. And that's our theme for 2020. We're here to move life forward. We're here to move family forward. We're here to move individuals forward. We're here to move people forward. But this word here for us means us. It means us as a collective group, as a community of faith, as a church. We're here to move forward in 2020. And as a ministry team, as a leadership team, as a lead pastor and as a pastoral team, all of our leadership this year is pointing towards helping people to engage with God more, to engage with each other more, to engage with the church and the vision and the plan and the path that we are blazing together in our community. It's all about engagement. And so we're very intentionally leaning towards a posture of an engagement that manifests itself with a significant sense of building community, a significant sense of building connection, and a significant sense of contribution to how we do that together as a church. And so we want to move family forward. Speaking of moving family forward, I want to welcome today Sione and Esther, who have recently had their first baby arrive, and they're in church today. I'm just searching for you. God bless you guys. Welcome to church today. They're in the parents' room, which is where the journey all begins, and you'll be there for the next years. God bless you guys. Welcome to church today with your beautiful bundle of joy, little baby girl. So this is all about finding your part in the family. We're not a church that kind of wants people to remain strangers. I know we start that way because it starts and takes a little while to build a sense of connection and family and relationship and trust and, I guess, alignment with a church. But we want to become friends. And we want to become friends where we are very much intentional about doing the journey in a way that moves and blesses and causes everything to go in the right direction to move forward. So we're very excited for 2020. Anyone else excited for 2020? I'm excited for this new season that God has us in. We've been making a bold public proclamation about this, that it's our desire that we'd never stop moving forward as a family, as a church family. We're here to grow. We're here to go. We're here to do what God wants us to do. We're not here to hold the fort. The King is coming. I know it's true. He is coming, but we're not holding the fort. We're building the fort. We're extending the fort. The Bible says that it says lots of things. I don't know what it says. It says heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And it speaks of the passion of the church of wanting to move things forward and grow with God. So whoever you are today, wherever you're at today, it's okay. Wherever you are on the journey is simply where you are, but we want you to have an intentional desire and a plan to keep going, keep growing, keep saying yes to Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep saying yes. Keep saying yes to Jesus. This whole journey starts with saying yes. Don't ever stop saying yes to Jesus and keep growing. Take your next steps. Hold the faith. Stay the path. Be fruitful. Keep flourishing. Keep advancing. And don't allow yourself to get stuck. Have you ever got stuck? I see people get stuck all the time. Stuff happens. It does. It happens everywhere. And stuff tends to cause humans to get stuck. And moving family forward, part of that plan is to help us come out of stuckness. Is that even a word? To come out of stuckness, of being stuck in a certain place, a certain posture, a certain position, a certain level in life. Moving forward, that's a good plan. It's a good intention to move forward. And I think anyone that's ever wanted to move forward in life understands this point. If you've ever wanted to move forward, you know you're going to experience setbacks. Setbacks. Anyone in the house ever experienced a setback? Come on, you ever experienced a setback? Ever been held back? Felt limited? There's hindrances around you, fences around you, prisons around you that are trying to find who you are. You know, a setback is simply, it's a loss of progress. It's a failed plan. It's things that didn't work out like we hoped. It's a dream that was shattered. It's a reversal of good fortune, or it's an unexpected event, or a crisis. We all have them, setbacks. I want you to think of the most successful person you know. The most successful person you know. And when you think of that person, often what we think of is this, is we think they've never had to deal with setbacks. But you know, the truth is, The more successful you are, the more setbacks you've had to overcome. The more challenges you've had to work your way through. The more problems you've had to work out. The more tensions you've had to learn to hold in your life. And it's so easy to think they've had a no setback path. They've had a no setback path. Everything's just worked out beautifully and fine for them. But on the other hand, we've had a life full of challenge, a life full of obstacles, hindrances, and setbacks. It's one of my observations that we tend to overplay the setbacks we have and underplay the setbacks others have. We tend to overplay ours and overestimate ours and magnify ours and downplay everyone else's as being not as big, not as challenging, not as significant. So the question today is not will you have a setback? The question is how are you going to move forward when you're in a setback or when you've had a setback? And I think the big difference comes down to what you empower. What you empower when you have a setback. And so we're going to talk today about how to move forward after a setback. And my first thought is this, is refuse to focus on yourself. When you're in a setback, refuse to focus on yourself, on your problems, and your feelings. Now, I know that's not easy to hear, because when you're the one in the setback, you automatically and naturally think of yourself, you think of your problem, and you think of your feelings. But I want to call it out today, and I want to let us all know that the last thing you want to do is make it all about yourself, make it all about your problem, and to make it all about your feelings. It's human tendency to do that and to focus way too much on our problem, to talk way too much about our issue and our circumstance. And I think many people make the mistake of making a country and western hit, a whole album, a whole series of CDs, about their challenge or their problem. And we develop an excessive self-focus that actually empowers the issue, magnifies the problem and the struggle. It amplifies the negativity and everything that's happening to us, and it magnifies the moment. And doing that only empowers it. It empowers the problem. It brings feelings of discouragement, feelings of despair, and takes us to a sad place of depression. If you want to do well when you're in a setback, don't respond like most people do. Don't be like, there are some things you just don't want to be normal at. A lot of the time we just try to be normal so we don't stand out. You know, we're not too bad, we're not too good. This is a place and a space in life you don't want to be normal at. You don't want to have the normal human tendency when you're in a setback. Don't be normal. Be extraordinary is what you want to be in this area. Don't be and don't act like everybody else. You're called to be exceptional. Turn to your neighbor and say, exceptional. Exceptional. You're called to be exceptional. An exceptional human being. An exceptional follower of Jesus Christ. Will you have setbacks? You bet you will. You're going to have some setbacks. But in the middle of every setback, you need to know God's working for your good so that it becomes a comeback, not a setback. A comeback, not a setback. You see, a normal human response is to focus on the problem, focus on the feelings, to get bitter, to make excuses, to be full of fear, and to worry. And I think that's why the Bible says over and over again, do not fear, do not worry, do not be afraid. And when the Bible says do not, guess what we should do? Do not. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not. Do not. Do not. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't get full of anxiety about these things. There's a massive difference between those that do well in a setback and those that don't. And it's all about what we empower. My second thought is this, is when you're in a setback, you need to be confident that God is working in the setback for your good. God's working for your good. I love the fact that God works for our good, that he works to make things good in our lives. Romans 8:28 says this. It says, and we know that God in all things works for the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose. I love that fact that that verse was written by the Apostle Paul, who had a few setbacks. He talks about them in that same range of verses in Romans 8, where he talks about being naked. He talks about being alone. He talks about being deserted. He talks about being stoned with rocks. He talks about all these things that happened to him. And he says, in God, he works for our good. For the good of those, he turns things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So, you know, church, no matter how dark it is, no matter how hard it is, no matter how challenging and how difficult it is, God's always working for good. He's working for your good today. I want you to know that. I want you to be confident of that in your darkest moment, that God is working for our good. The pin-up boy for this thought in the Bible is Joseph. Joseph is one of my favourite characters in the Bible. He had an extraordinary spirit, this young man, Joseph. He had a dream from God. It was a God dream about how God was going to do something great in his life and in his world. And he kind of made the mistake of telling his brothers the dream. And he told them about how one day they were all going to come and bow down to him. And they didn't think that was a real cool idea. Can I just highlight a thought here? Sometimes it's not good to share your dream with everybody. Not everybody can handle your dream. Some people will belittle it. Some people will betray it. Some people will try and kill the dream. And that's what Joseph's brothers did. And so they beat him up. They put him in a pit. They sold him off to some slave traders. And he was taken away to another land as a slave in the land of Egypt to live. Now, he was falsely accused when he was in Egypt. He was in his master's house just doing his job, and Mrs. Potiphar decided that she thought Joseph was quite cute, and Joseph didn't respond to her advances, and so he was falsely accused of seducing Potiphar's wife, and so he was put in jail for some 12 years. Imagine how he felt, betrayed by his family, the people that should have loved him, looked after him, protected him, betrayed him and sold him. Imagine how he felt about that. Imagine the mental health issues dealing with that. Not only that, his employer betrayed him and he was falsely put in prison for 12 years, not 12 weeks, not 12 months, 12 years in prison. And yet even in that place, God allowed his favour to come on him and find him and gave him favour with the right people. Now, when you read it in the Bible, it's a nice little story. But I'm sure there was plenty of lonely days and lonely nights. I'm sure there were plenty of country and western songs that Joseph wrote while he was leaning in that prison cell and feeling bad about the circumstances that he'd found himself in. Days of discouragement and days of heartache. But what happened was God allowed the people around him, the chief jailer, to see the potential of leadership in Joseph's life. And the Bible says that he found favour, and Pharaoh's favour also came on him. He was released from prison. And he went from prison to become the prime minister of the nation of Egypt. What an amazing story. What an amazing comeback after such a tragic setback. So much pain, so much heartache, so much loss, and yet an amazing comeback. And here he is now as the prime minister of the nation. And his brothers, who didn't know what happened to him, they had no word from Joseph. They had no word about him. They came to Egypt because there was famine in the land, and they came searching for food. So here they find themselves in front of their brother Joseph, who they didn't recognize, as the prime minister, begging him for food. And Joseph has a moment when he's standing in front of them as they're begging for food. He has a moment where he quizzes them, and he puts them through the ringer with his questions as he's asking about the family and about their father and why they needed the food. And then he declared to them who he was. And then we read these words in Genesis 50 verse 20, where he says this. What a beautiful thought this is. He said to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." See the switch up here? See what the writer does? It says, "You intended this for evil, but God intended it for good." You know, God's always got a higher intention. He's always got a higher intention than we understand. He's got a higher intention than is obvious. He's got a higher intention than the plans of a human heart. The Bible says a man plans his ways, but but the Lord directs his steps. And here Joseph was in a difficult family situation and in a difficult employment situation. He'd been put in prison. And then he finds himself as the prime minister, a man of great authority and trust now. And he's standing before his brothers and he could have had them beheaded. But he says this, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. And he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people." Here's my thought. When God promotes you, he does it not for you, he does it for others. He does it for others. He does it for your brothers. He does it for your brothers that even betrayed you. He does it for family that let you down. He does it for your city. He does it for your nation. He does it for all the other people in your world. When God promotes you, it's always about other people. And on the pathway to promotion, there's going to be people that intend to harm you. But God's intention is always greater. God's intention is for your good. There's no setback that happens in life where God is not working for our good. No setback in life. We need to tell ourselves this over and over again. Because when you're in your setback, you're going to forget this. And this is why you need to confidently embrace this thought and lean into it now. So that when you get there, you can remain strong in your resolve and your resilience. That no setback in life happens where God is not working for our good. God's turning it even when it doesn't feel like it. God's working it even when it doesn't feel like he's working it. Even when you don't see it, when you don't know it, when you don't feel it, God's doing it. Joseph knew that, and I pray every one of us knows that too. I pray we'd know that. I pray we know that as individuals. I pray we know that as families. I pray we know that as a church, because setbacks will come. They're part of the pathway. There's potholes everywhere. There's obstacles. There's detours. There's hindrances. There's mistakes. There's things that happen. There's things that people do. There's things that life does. Things that happen to us that are beyond our control. And in the middle of all that, we need to be confident that we've got a God that's turning it. Turning it for our good, even when I can't see it, even when I can't feel it, and even when I don't know it. My last big thought is this. Is in the middle of a setback, we've got to be willing to go backwards to move forward. Willing to go backwards to move forward. We see this very clearly in Joseph's life, where in Genesis 39, before he becomes prime minister, it says, when his master heard the story, this is when he's serving in Potiphar's house, it says, when his master heard the story, his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me." And he burned with anger. And Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him, and he showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. And so the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I want you to notice that Joseph's time in prison was a time when he had to go backwards to go forward. There are times in life when it will feel like you hit the wall and you come to the end of it and the end of yourself. There'll be times in life, in your journey of faith, in your career, your business, every aspect of life, where it will feel like you're at the edge. And you've got to go backwards, sideways, to go forward. Because that door's shut. Think about Joseph for a moment. He was a man with a dream that one day God would raise him to a position of authority where even his own family and brothers would come and bow down to him. He shares the dream, thinking others would on board with it. Others would get enthusiastic and excited, but others were actually threatened. And so they forced him into a backward step. They beat him up and they put him in a pit. As if that's not bad enough, then they sold him. They sold him. Having your family sell you They sold him. He's dragged off to Egypt, a foreign nation. Backwards, backwards, backwards. Then he becomes the prime minister after a short stint in Potiphar's house and 12 years in jail. Another massive backward step. Sometimes you can't just go forward, you need to go back to go forward. Sometimes the only way forward is back. There are times in life, actually, when you can't go forward from where you are. And wisdom understands that. So it might mean you've got to go back. It might mean you've got to go back to study if you want to go forward. It might mean you've got to do that. You may have to accept less now so you can have more later. You might have to go back and learn about money so you can have money. You may have a seed in your hand now that you need to let go of so you can have a harvest for the future. You may need to unlearn some things so you can learn some things. Because oftentimes that's the trouble with us humans. We know too much. We have no room for anything more. And we need to unlearn. And the older you get, it's one of the great lessons of life. The ability to unlearn to make room to learn more. God has places for us to go as individuals, as families, and as a church. Sometimes the only way forward is to go backwards, because forward often begins with backwards. It often begins with backwards. It may feel like it's backwards, but it's actually forward. It's actually forward. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks. Don't worry about what it feels like, looks like, sounds like. Don't hesitate. That's your way forward, where you can learn and grow. And finally, we need to have faith in our setback that you're not actually being held back. You're not actually being held back. The problem I have with my setbacks that I've suffered, and suffered I have, quite a few. I could sing it better than Frank Sinatra in terms of the setbacks of life and the challenges of life. But this is one thing I'm absolutely confident of, is that the setbacks in life are not me being held back. It's actually me being released. Take a step back, take a breath, relearn some things, and make your way forward. Make your way forward. Have faith in the moment, that it might look like a prison, but it only becomes a prison if I allow it to be a prison. If God declared it, if he proclaimed it, he's going to sustain it. What God proclaims, he sustains. And that's the story and the lesson of Joseph's life. It was proclaimed by God, and so therefore God was going to sustain him. Didn't matter that man put him in a pit, God would still sustain him. Didn't matter that man put him in a prison, God would still sustain him. Didn't matter they put him in the palace, God was still going to sustain him, because God had determined to favor him. God's intention was to do him good. The Bible says no weapon that is formed against you will prosper. Would you stand to your feet with me? No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. It doesn't say the weapon won't be formed. The weapon will be formed. The weapon is formed. It's pointed. It's pointed. It's aimed at you. But the promise is it won't prosper. It won't prosper. Because God's working it. He's working for your victory. Even when you don't feel it. Even when you don't see it. Even when you don't know it. Off the radar, God's working. While you're in a pit, he's working. Working to bring victory your way. Working to move heaven, working to move earth. Working to set you free from that prison, that restriction, that hindrance. I don't know what's going on in your world and your life. I don't know what's going on around your zone at the moment. But I do know this. Others may have intended it for harm, but God intended it
for your good. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. I want us to sing over you this morning because I believe in the power of praise. I believe in the power and the declaration of the prophetic praise of God's people. And we're going to sing this song, I See a Victory, and I want you to see it today. This is a song Joseph wrote as he was in prison. He wrote it many years ago. It's all over his story. It's all over the record of his life. From the moment God proclaimed it to the moment he walked it, this song is Joseph's song. Make it yours today. Maybe you're going through some stuff. Get the focus off your problem. Get the focus off yourself. Stop empowering that. Start empowering the promise that God has proclaimed over you, that I will turn it for good. Why don't you lift your hands and worship the Lord this morning? Come on.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper.
Come on.
What the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good.
Father, that's our declaration today. When Joseph sat in that pit, staring up at his brothers, after you said they would bow to him, here he was in such a low place, looking up to them. When he found himself in prison, once again, he went down. He went backwards, looking up to everybody else. And your word says, you favored him. You prospered him. And his declaration was, what the enemy meant for evil, God, you intended it for good. His declaration in that prison cell was, I'm going to see a victory. I'm going to see a victory. God told me that he would raise me. God promised me that they would come and bow. God spoke of greatness. I want to speak into your heart today and your spirit today, because life has a way of taking you down, down, and down to points of despair, discouragement, and depression, where oftentimes people give up on the dream that God birthed in their heart. When you're down there, you need something that's going to help you get back up there. When you're in your setback, you need to be able to focus on the one thing that's going to bring you a comeback. And that one thing is the word of the Lord. I'm going to see a victory. For the battle belongs to the Lord. You need to know who's fighting on your behalf. The weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. The weapon may be formed, but it will not prosper. Now, I preached really short today, so I could go really long at this point. So don't be rushing me right now. Just hang in with me for a moment, because this is where God birthed something in the spirit for us. As individuals, as a family, that there's a comeback spirit. There's a comeback spirit. It's the same spirit that was on Jesus. It's the same spirit the Bible talks about, where it says, if the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead in his apparent setback, it was actually a massive comeback and a setup for a comeback for Jesus to pay the ultimate price to set us free. God is he's a comeback God. He's a comeback God. Don't judge it by what it looks like, sounds like, feels like. Judge it by what God says it is. What he says it is. If God declares it, if he proclaims it, and he sustains it in every valley, in every pit, in every prison, until it gets to its palace moment. So I don't know what your heart's telling you today, but let your spirit lock on to what God's doing. Come on, Mitch, we're going to sing this through just a couple of more times as people catch what God wants to do. The weapon may be formed, but he won't prosper. Can we start there?
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper.
Come on, Holy Spirit, help us to see that.
When the darkness falls, you won't breathe.
See
a victory.
That's what I see.
I'm gonna see a victory.
church, lift up your hands. I want to close and pray for all of our moments, all of our challenge, circumstances, the things that lie in front of every one of us. Father, we thank you today for the word of God. Thank you today, God, that the weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. Because your intention is bigger. Your intention is beyond. Your intention is above. Your intention is for us. And I pray you help hearts today. Help homes today. Help your church today. Right across this city, churches of every blend, of every flavor, no matter who they are, help the church be the church in this city and rise up and shine is my prayer. Help us to see a victory, personally to see victories, personal triumph, corporate triumph, economic triumph, spiritual triumph. Father, in every regard, for people with sickness and disease and conditions in their body, we pray, Lord, help them to see a victory in and through the name of Jesus today. You're our hope. You're our only hope. You're the one we look to, the one we look for today. And we thank you, God, that you have plans for us, plans for a future, plans for a hope, plans to bless, plans to favor, plans to prosper us as we walk this journey of faith with you. We love you, God, but we thank you that you first loved us, and your love has a greater intention than we would ever be able to understand and grasp. Lord, this week, turn the tide is my prayer. Move family forward. Move our church forward. Move our church family forward. 2020. A greater sense of engagement. A greater sense of community. A greater sense of connection. And a greater sense of contribution from every one of us, Father. I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless your church. Thank you so much for being with us today. Hospitality time is now open in the cafe. Our Connect Lounge is now open if you're a new person. And we'd love to invite you there and come and meet some of our leaders, enjoy some fine food, some coffee, tea. Our food co-op is now open. We've got some amazing specials in our food co-op, some chicken specials for you. Go check all of that out. Also, if you'd like to meet with Paul and his wife, they'll be down the back of the hall. They'll be walking around meeting and introducing themselves. If you want to help in terms of what they're doing on Election Day, you can let them know or register at the welcome desk. God bless you. Have an amazing day. For all of our young adults, you're off to Grilled. Meet in the foyer with Brad in about 10 minutes, and you're going to go and have lunch together. God bless you. Thank you. Have a great week.